All right, take your Bible this morning. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17, if you will, please. As you turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, I want to talk to you a moment about something that I want to stress. In my meetings across America, I teach a theme verse of every church I go to. And there's a verse that I like to have us say for the next 3 days I'll be with you all. It's a small passage. James 4:8, the first part says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Let me say it one more time. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now, would you all see the reference, James 4 and verse 8, and then the verse good loudest try. Here we go. James 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I, as an individual, can have as much of the Lord as my heart desires. And as I walk as a child of God, my life ought to draw nigh more and more unto Him. And your life ought to draw nigh unto Him. One of the great thrills as you travel across America is seeing God taking the Word of God and dealing in hearts of individuals, and then God saving young men and young ladies, and then God calling them to a school-like ambassador. And you have no idea. Young men, when you go out preaching, you have no idea until maybe way down the road of life, you'll see the fruit of your ministry. Now, you see the seasons, but often you don't know the result until years later. For example, there's a young man in this school who was saved under my ministry at the age of 12. And I did not know that till this week, he told me. He was 12 years of age. I was preaching at the Wilds. And Glenn Stevenson was saved under our ministry at the Wilds. And now here he is preparing for the ministry. Well, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But you know, when your heart desires, you want to draw nigh unto God. And your purpose of living is living for your Heavenly Father and proclaiming the Word of God. That is thrilling to see how God takes your ministry and young men and young ladies. God will take your ministry and God will use you, and you'll see God honor the fruit of your labor. Our brother Comfort and I have gone around America for a number of years preaching the Word of God. Brother Paul, I've known Brother Paul when he was in college at Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. And it's thrilling to see what God does when you just give God a chance. Now, none of us feel that we are anything special. I stuttered a great deal before God saved me. I had this terrible erratic speech problem. And the reason is because we spoke Russian in our home. We spoke Lithuanian in our home. And we spoke West Virginian in our home. But you know, beside all that, if your heart draws nigh to God, God can take you and God can shape your life and God could use you. And that's our desire. We feel if we pour our lives in the young people, and that's what this administration and these teachers are doing, pouring the life into you, in one day, only eternity will reveal what God's going to do with your life. And we do pray God's best upon your lives. Take your Bible in 1 Kings chapter 17. Would y'all stand? In verse 1, we read, and Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Our Father, we wait upon thee. We ask that as we give up the word of God, it will go deep within our lives. And Father, we pray that there be the seasons wrought that bring glory to our Savior. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Elijah came on the scene at probably one of the most difficult times in the history of Israel. The new king was one of the worst that ever ruled over the land. 1 Kings 16:30 says, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." This wicked, ungodly man had two goals in mind. First, he wanted to stamp out the faith of God's people. Number two, he wanted them to worship the false god Baal. At that crucial hour, God raised up the great prophet Elijah. Elijah's name means, "My God is Jehovah." And this man's very presence was to display the power of God. And that was important because the people of Israel had lost sight of the Lord. In Acts 17:23, the Apostle Paul said, "To the unknown God, whom therefore ye eagerly worship, him declare I unto you." And Elijah was going to declare this unknown God, Ahab and Jezebel, a husband and wife that were the most diabolical team in the Old Testament. Ahab had no fear of God. His unbelief knew no boundaries. But the vastness of this man's ungodliness was no comparison to the greatness of Elijah's faith. For in 1 Kings 17:1, Elijah said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." Whenever a man stands with God, he can withstand all the powers of this earth. Romans 8:31, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Exodus 14:14, "The Lord shall fight for you." Deuteronomy 33:27, "The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Romans 8:37, "For we are more than conquerors through him." Psalm 118, verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" And Elijah had no fear. He was bold and courageous and stood before the king and announced there'd be no rain. And then the word of God says he left. And when he left, God led that man to several locations that I called your attention. You know why? Because every last one of you, as you journey through life, God will put you at these different locations. And what were they? Well, first of all, look at verse 2 and 3. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." Now look here. The first place that God led Elijah was a Cherith. It's a Cherith that we see the provision of God for Elijah. After the man of God gave the message, God separates him, and then the Lord provided for him in the most unusual fashion. 1 Kings 17:6 says, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening." Question, why did God choose ravens to feed Elijah? Ravens are vultures. Ravens are an unclean bird. Why did the Lord choose ravens to feed Elijah? The Bible gives the answer. Isaiah 55 verse 8, God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Are you aware that God will always provide for you in his own unique fashion? Amen. Minutes ago, I went through 7 stores looking for a nutcracker. You know the kind you put the nut in there and go like that? I went through 7 stores. I couldn't find the nutcracker. I came home. I told my wife, I said, "Sharon, I've gone through 7 stores. I can't find a nutcracker. So I'm going to pray for God to provide me with a nutcracker." And so I did. And one day I was running. The next day I was running 5 miles. And by the way, I'm a runner. And I was running 2.5 miles out and coming back. And so I took off running and I got to my turn at 2.5 miles and I turned around right in the middle of the road. I looked down and when I did, there was a nutcracker right in the middle of the road. I picked it up. I ran so fast. When I came back home, I had to take a bucket of water and pour it on my tennis shoes. They were on fire. And I held that up. I said, Sharon, the Lord provided the nutcracker. You know what? I carry that with me all the time as a constant reminder that my Lord will always provide the most minute as well as the greatest need. I have had 4 children go through college. And I'll tell you right now, it is quite an expense. And we had 2 in college at the same time. And matter of fact, I had 14 years of college bills. However, it was not a free ride. We told our children they had to be responsible for half of their education. We would help the other half. But I tell you, we were home. The 2 boys were in college. And the bill's coming due and there's no money. And I began to pray, Lord, Lord, help us. We need to see you provide this need. I went to the post office in Star, South Carolina, and got a most unusual letter. I went home and I opened this letter, and someone wrote me this letter and said, Brother Savinsky, we've heard of your ministry, and we've been impressed by what the Lord has done through your life. And therefore, we are sending you a gift. We do not want you to ever contact us again. This is a one lifetime gift. I looked at the check. It was a check for $5,000. I sat down and wrote back and I said, Dear, whoever you are, I will never write you as long as I live. I'm tearing your address up right at the close when I mail the letter to you. But I want you to know, God used you to meet a specific need in our family. You know what? You never have to doubt the character of your Heavenly Father. He will always, looking at you, young lady, He will always provide for you. Young man, He'll always provide for you. Let that truth grip your life. Psalm 37:25. I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. All through life, my God will take care of me. He'll take care of you. There'll always be a cherith in your life. But second of all, look in verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now look here. Zarephath is the place of the program of God for Elijah. Zarephath means a smelting furnace. It's a place where they take a huge metal pot. They put broken pieces of metal within the pot. They put an extreme hot fire under the pot. As that pot gets red hot, all of the small pieces of metal on the inside begin to melt. In the process of melting, all of the impurities within that metal, they come to the surface. They take a large spoon called a cadle. And they scrape all of the impurities off so the metal will be strong in its final states. Now look at this preaching finger right here. I'm left-handed. Everything I do, I'm dumb left-handed. And if I could take this finger right here and point at every one of us, including myself and this minimalist platform, I would say this. We all have impurities within our lives. God does this. He puts the heat under our lives, He causes these things of service so God can extract them for one reason, to make you a better and stronger child of God. What were the impurities and the life of Elijah? One thing was pride. He said, where do you get that from? I get that from the Bible. Arise, get that is Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Behold, I commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Zidon was composed entirely of Gentiles. Elijah was a Jew. The Lord took a Gentile widow to take care of the prophet Elijah, the Jew. Why? Because God hates pride. Proverbs 6:16 through 17. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look. Jeremiah 45:5, and seekest thou great thing for thyself, seek them not. Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before fall. God does not want pride in our lives. God did not want pride in the life of Elijah. A Gentile widow took care of this man of God. Second of all, God was extracting self-sufficiency. Elijah said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I eat but a handful of meal and a little oil in the cruse. From the small amount, God was going to take care of Elijah. You know something? All through life, you got to realize that your source of sufficiency is of God. A man of God minutes ago told me this. He said, Jerry, you'll never get to the place where you don't have to depend upon the Lord. Are you aware you'll never be a self-sufficient individual? And all through life, you've got to realize my sufficiency is heavenward. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. In John 15:5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so, Elijah, God did not want stockpiling mentality. God was taking a small amount and God took care of him. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Matthew 6:34. So God says this in Philippians 4:19. That my God shall supply all your need. And all through life he will supply your need. So God got rid of self-sufficiency. But then God removed self-reliance. In 1 Kings 17, the Word of God says, the widow's son died. And the Word of God makes a very striking statement in two aspects about Elijah. Look at me. First of all, the Word of God says, he cried unto the Lord. Number two, he stressed himself upon the child three times. Has there ever come a time in your life where you have literally fallen on the floor and you have cried and you've wept and said, Lord, I do not know what to do? Now, I'm not here to impress any one of you. And I'm not ashamed to tell you from my heart, there have been times in my ministry when I have literally fallen on my face and I have cried and said, Lord, I do not know what to do. You know, young man, young lady, Zarephath is a hot place. It has to be hot. It's how God causes these things to surface. You right now may be in a Zarephath. You may say, it's too hot. I don't know if I can stand the pressure. Look at me. Don't you dare leave. Don't leave Zarephath. There's no way God could shape you. Everything I've gone through. The speech problems. The educational problems. Because I was dumb as a doorknob. I struggled for 4 years through college. Everything I got, I had to work for. Why? My life was consumed by sports. Study was a cuss word in my vocabulary. And so everything I've gone through, God has used to shape my life. What about you? The Bible says in Job 23:10, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Psalm 66, verse 12, we went through fire and through water, but thou brought us out into a wealthy place. Zarephath is the place of the program of God for every individual life today. Third of all, go to 1 Kings 18, 21, the last location. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now look here. It's at Mount Carmel. We see the place of the power of God for Elijah. Now just a moment. Today there is such an emphasis upon power. These TV evangelists just about drive me insane. Don't you ever put me in the boat with those TV evangelists. We could take 99% of those guys, put them in a ship, put them out to sea, and that would be a blessing for America and the whole world. Have you ever seen how this guy work? May I imitate a couple of them for you, please? One guy comes on television, he's smiling all the time and says, something good's going to happen to you today. Another guy, I can understand him. He comes on and he says, hello world, put your hand on the television and feel the power of God. I told my boys a couple years ago, put your hand in the television and feel the power of God. And they always talk about all this power, power, all this stuff. Well, thank God there came to the genuine power. Elijah was going to a location that's very significant. But notice the order. He does not go to Mount Carmel first. You will never go to Mount Carmel first. You've got to go through Cherith and see your God provide for you. You've got to go through Zarephath that God could shape you. And then one day, he'll allow you to go to Mount Carmel where you'll see the power of God. Elijah built the altar against 450 prophets of Baal. And they cried for 6 hours. They cut themselves and blood was gushing. And they were defeated. Elijah came on the scene, rebuilt the altar, put the bullock on, and then commanded 12 barrels of water be put on the altar. And then he prayed 63 words. And when the last word came out of his mouth, fire fell from heaven, consumed everything, and the people cried, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. You know what they saw? They saw the genuine power of God. You know, young people, in my ministry, as well as these men of God and this platform and these men of God out here, we desire to see the genuine power of God. Not trying to force people to do anything. Elijah put water on the sacrifice. He made it difficult. Why? He wanted people to see the genuine power of God. You know, there's some of you young men in this room. As I stand here, some of you guys, you crave, you want to see the power of God upon your life. I know you do. As well as you young ladies, some of you girls, there is such an intense love in your heart for the Lord. You desire to see the power of God upon your life. However, perhaps you've never come to a place where you said, Lord, how could you use me? You know, I know how you feel when you voice that. Mrs. Comfort and I, she was saved when she was 13. I was saved when I was 17. And I went to Youth for Christ, where Dr. Comfort was the head of. And I watched Mrs. Comfort on these quiz teams. And they wanted me to get on a quiz team. I said, no. I can't go on a quiz team. Because I would never stand in front of people. I would never speak in front of people. And I'd watch those young ladies, and I mean brilliant. They always jumped up like that, and I said, how on earth they know that much of the Bible? And then I heard young guys singing. I said, oh my, I don't know a note of music to this day. I said, wow, they're singing, I can't believe that. And young guys preaching. So that can't be me. And I'm wondering, how could God ever use me? Now, I would love to be used of God, but what could I give God? With my stuttering speech? Well, I can't sing. Well, how could God use my life? And yet something was burning deep in my heart. And so one night, a missionary, Dr. Gene Greganus, was preaching in West Virginia. I came down the aisle, 17 years of age, and I was weeping so hard, I could hardly see where I was going. And I stood there and said, you know, Lord, I don't know how you could ever use this life, but God, tonight, I give my life to you. So I did. I just gave my life to Him. Did I know I'd be an evangelist? No. Did I know I'd go to college? Lord forbid I'd go to college. There was not a Savinsky in the history of Savinskyanism that ever went to college. And buddy, I was not going to go to college. I came down the aisle. I had no idea what I was doing. What a wonderful journey I was getting on. All because in my fear, in my timidity, I just said, Lord, if you can use me, here's my life. And today, I don't know. I really believe God desires to show His power in the life. He can do it. Why, you're in control. You've got to put your life in the hands of God. And the most difficult situation, put more water on it. Make it difficult and let God show His power through your life. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Our Father, we ask today that you would lead this invitation. We pray, Father, as the Holy Spirit takes the truth of the Word of God, we'll always keep our focus upon your character. You have never failed us, Lord. You never will. And I pray, Lord, that you would help these young people and adults as well to see the truth. We pray, Father, you guide now in the invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to have them play a song of I Surrender All. In a moment before they play the song of I Surrender All, I don't want you raising your hands or anything, please. I want you to listen to me. You see, Brother Jerry, I need to see God provide for me. Will there be a cherith in my life? Don't insult the Lord by that thought. He owns your cattle on the thousand hills, as you well know. He will provide. He is. He does have a cherith for all of us. You say, Brother Jerry, I'm going through a Zarephath, and it's very hot. And I have faced so much opposition. It seems like wall after wall is being built to block me in my endeavors. And I have wanted to quit and run. And the heat is that intense. But I know we've got to stay. And as Job said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him, then drop dead, trying, if it takes that, and the heat, but don't leave Zarephath. Or perhaps you say, Brother Jerry, I long to see the power of God. I've hesitated. I know God speak in my life. I've never surrendered my life for God's service. But their heads bowed and their eyes closed before they start playing our song. You say, Brother Jerry, today I want to just hand the reins of my life over to the Lord. I want God to take me and use me as He sees fit. I've never done this. And I want to publicly just give my life to the Lord. Let God take and use me. Would you raise your hand right now if that's your desire? And say yes. All right, God bless you. And God bless you. Yes, God bless you. As soon as you raise your hand, put them back down. Anybody else? You see, Brother Jerry, I need to be at Cherith. I have some specific needs, and Lord knows my need of my life. Whatever it is, I need to see the Lord provide. Or Brother Jerry, I'm a Zarephath, and I need God's help. I need God's sustaining grace. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hands across this auditorium? God bless you. Perhaps today you're here and you're backslidden. You're away from the Lord. You say, Brother Jerry, I'm my condition because I've lost sight of the character of my Heavenly Father. And I need to get things right with the Lord. I truly need to get right with Him. Would you pray for me? Would you voice that by the raised hand? All right, God bless you. God bless you. If you're unsaved, you'll never know the power of God until you come to Jesus Christ. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God and the salvation. Say, Brother Jerry, I'm not sure I'm even saved. Nothing spiritually registers with me. If God can save me, I want Him to save me. Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Now, Father God, as we give this invitation, may the Savior be honored by it. We ask in Christ's name, amen.